Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
How many like to talk? Okay, well, I'm glad one person likes to talk. All right. Well, for all of you that missed the game night last night, we're going to play a little game briefly here to start things off with Would You Rather? Let me explain the rules here we're going to pose two questions, and you have to decide which one you would rather do. Okay? So, the first question is, would you rather for 1 hour be in a room filled with people you didn't know and have to have meaningful conversation with them? Maybe you can just flip the screen because it's not working with mine. Or would you rather participate with your local church body in fellowship activities where those people would be able to really get to know you? Which one would you rather? The first one, be in a room full of strangers and have to have meaningful conversation with you. Is that what you're saying? You're saying that you don't want anybody to know who you are? Is that what we're saying here on the second question? Okay, well, that's good. Okay, so we're in the middle of a series called Developing Authentic Community. Developing Authentic Community. We had some fun last week. We're going to have some fun this week. Here's what we're going to do. I want everybody to count off by fours. I hope I did this right. Otherwise, it's going to be awkward. If you're visiting and you're married, you're one number. Okay, so we're not going to split you up. So if you just start here, let's just count the row, and then you'll come back this way, and we'll go back this way, and just count off by fours.
One, two,
three, four. You're one.
Oh,
yeah.
Two,
three, four. One, two. And four. Okay, here's what we're going to do. There's only going to be four people, so if you're four and you're together, then you're the third and the fourth. So now, all the ones, raise your hand. How many we got? Three. We got three ones. Well, you guys didn't count off. Sorry. One, two. Okay, well, hopefully this works out. Okay, all the ones, go over there. In that little area over there. Back three rows. Just kind of, you know, don't. Okay. Okay, where's he at anyway? Okay. All the twos. What number are you, Rich?
I'm one.
Oh, you're one. Okay. So you're just moving down there. All the twos, you can get to the end of here and go to that row there and just kind of get in a group over there. All the threes. Where's the threes? How many we got? One, two, three. And Oren's a three. Okay, you can get right here, in this little area right here, only four people. And then all the fours can just get right here. How many fours we got? Those two, these two. Let's see if I did the math right here. Hopefully it works. I don't want any odd people, so. Oddballs. You know what I mean. So. Let's see. So, Brent, what are you?
Two.
You're a two. And you guys are twos? So is there four there? Okay. And there's how many ones?
Four.
Okay. And how many? Four. Sweet. Sweet. Hey, I did some math right. That's good. And maybe like your pastor can do math. Now, I know Oren's coming back, so I'm not sure. Where's the threes? Right here? So threes might have one more person. Okay, now here's the next choice you get. In that group, one person gets to be the one that takes notes. Yes. Because they're going to write down your answers. Okay, I'm just going to pass out. And this is the only time I'm authorizing this, but we're going to write on offering envelopes. I remember as a kid, I used to get these and scribble all kinds of pictures on them. And yeah, just on the back of it, yeah. Oh, you got a pen? Good. See, this guy comes equipped. You got one?
Yep.
You guys are all right. There you go. That's right. Here you go. Oh, she's in your group. Okay, sorry. You guys got one. You guys don't have one. I thought she was over here, so I thought she was... Okay, everybody got a paper and pencil, right? All right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask a series of questions. And before I give you the questions, we have to go over some ground rules. Everybody listening? Number one ground rule... is, I don't know if, hopefully I have control here because it's not working. Answers have to come from you, right? And that means, what that means is this, this is a group discussion, not a group answer. You know how that goes? You know, when you get in a group and one person says an answer, everybody says, yeah, I like that one, yeah. None of that. So everybody's got to have an answer. Okay? No piggybacking or dittos. I remember when we used to have group discussions in school and you'd be like, yeah, what they said. No, none of that. Okay? So, number two is no philosophical or Christianese answers. You know what I mean by that? In other words, don't get off, if you can spout off some canned answer that you didn't take any thought from and it sounds like somebody else, none of that. Got it? Does everybody understand what that means? No quoting somebody else. Answers have to come from you, out of you. Okay? Make sense? Everybody's pretty comfortable now? Okay. Okay. Question number one. And we only got a couple of these, so. We are in the middle of a series on authentic community. So the number one question is, as soon as it comes up on the screen, what do you feel? Sorry, this is not it. Hold on. I just gave you a sneak preview of number two. Number one, what does healthy community look like in a local church environment? We'll have 10 minutes. You guys can discuss it amongst yourself, but everyone has to participate and answer the question. And whoever is the leader in the group, just write down the answers. There are no bad answers. We just want to know what's the thought process? What does healthy community look like in a local church environment? Okay. Everybody done discussing question number one? Okay. So let's see. There's group four, group... three, group one, and group two. Okay, just make sure. Okay, well, group two is done first. So who's the spokesperson for group? Okay, sorry guys, can you give the...
Is the writer and the spokesperson the same person?
It is the same person. That's why he has the pen and the paper in his hand. So whoever has a mic, if you just pass it to them, because I want to make sure that we can all hear the question. No, there's two mics. Oh, I'm sorry. You guys have a mic. You have a mic. Just go ahead and here. Let me have that. I'll pass it to them, and then we'll pass it back up. Turn these on, by the way. You push the bottom. If the green light's on, we're good. Okay. There you go. Okay.
I'm trying to read my own handwriting.
Do you want to try to put them on the screen?
Yeah. All right. Some of the answers we came up with were...
Hold on, let me read the question. Question is this, what does healthy community look like in a local church environment? And that was the word healthy, right? Not toxic?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure.
All right, I'm going to read from the bottom up, so the very first one is going to be an all-encompassing theme.
Okay, speak up, because we can't hear you up here.
Really?
Yes.
So it has, it still has interaction with outside elements, like it's not completely inward-focused. It's each individual's in their own right, basically a warrior of God, an unafraid of outreach. Even inside the church, it does have a support structure, but overall, the entire community flows in what God is doing, has fellowship, and basically, as the encompassing theme is heaven on earth. Oh, heaven on earth there.
Okay. So let's, because I don't think our guy typing can get all that on the screen. Let's boil it down to some main points. Folks, what are some points you heard them say? Can we just kind of see if we can, fellowship? Okay. Expand on that one. Fellowship, what does that mean? Because we use that term a lot. That's borderline Christianese. What does that mean? Interacting with other people. So when you at the grocery store and you're going through the checkout line, you're saying, hi, how you doing? Is that considered fellowship? Okay, spend quality time. I like that. That's probably a little more developed. Spend quality time with people. So we can go put that up there. What was one of the other ones? I heard something about read the part that said involved outside and not, or something like that.
Oh, interaction with outside elements. That each person is a kind of like a warrior for God, and that is unafraid to do outreach,
okay,
in whatever it means.
When we're talking about elements, if I walk outside and an atom hits me in the face, does that qualify? Because that's an outside element.
Outside elements, I mean like outside entities, groups of people that aren't already involved.
Groups of people, yeah, that's good. Groups of people. How about this? Spheres of influence. You know, in the marketplace, that kind of thing, right? So what you're saying is, am I understanding correctly, what you're saying is part of what healthy environment and healthy community is a church that is involved where people are involved. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay. What's another one? You have another one?
That was our full list.
Okay. I don't know what that looks like, to be honest with you. I hear you, I get it, but what does that look like? See, we have to be able to put our finger on something, otherwise it's... Does anybody have any idea? Give me some insight. What does that look like? What does that mean?
I think when you hear the rest of them, it may encompass somehow, so
you
put that hold and then
yeah. I think you're good. That's good. Okay, so that's group two. Your group one, go ahead. What do you guys have? What did you guys come up with?
We have, it looks like excitement. You can't wait to get there. Greeting and speaking to each other genuinely. Giving generously and genuinely of your time and your love. Experiencing people who can relax and be themselves versus, you know, religious. The church face type. Christianese greeting stuff. Let's see. What else should we do? Being fed spiritually and really being fed in all ways. So when you come to church, it should be for your spiritual feeding, but it's also for social development, and that's where it falls into fellowship. It's also supposed to be a healing time. It's a renewing time. It's a refreshing time. So being fed in every aspect for yourself and experiencing the openness of the hearts of the people. Because if they are relaxing and being themselves and being genuine, when you leave, you will have experienced that and you take it with you.
Okay. I keep hearing the word genuine come up.
Yes.
Isn't that subjective? Because here's the thing, how do you define genuine? Because if we say we want a community that's genuine, Doesn't that involve someone being able to look into you and know what your motives are? Are we qualified? Yeah, yeah. So we're talking. Are we talking more about not being withdrawn into yourself versus?
I don't think genuine is bad. I mean, God.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm asking the question: can we define what genuine really is? Because we say it a lot, but that would involve. Would that not involve us being able to know where the other person is coming from? Because, for instance, the reason I say that is, what if I come up to somebody and I'm simply being friendly to them, but I don't engage them in their life story? Does that mean I'm disingenuous?
No, not being genuine.
But what if I was being genuine and the person that, because I didn't spend hardly any time with them, they walk away and say, that's phony. Is that an accurate statement?
No.
No, it's not.
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
You know, what season
so, are you? So, how can we better define what being genuine is? Because we've got to be able to hit the target. I think it's an awesome term, but I hear it a lot. And how can we better define what it is?
So let me just take a second, if I can.
Sure.
And I'll share with the rest of the group. Can you all hear me?
Do I really need this?
Yeah,
this
that's good.
Better?
It's good for the
okay.
Recording.
So I'll share with the rest of the group my wife Kim's and my experience the last 25 years before we stepped one foot into this church. Maybe some of you can relate, maybe not. So we came here because we were looking for something different. We spent 25 years in a church. We committed our life to that church. My wife committed 10 years to working in that church. I was extremely involved in many, many aspects of that organization. With the men, with groups, ran the retreat of 425 people. And I will tell you, we're here, obviously, because we're not there. We left there for many reasons. One of them, we were not being fed after 25 years. And for me, no pressure, Pastor Dan, but it all starts right there. And it starts up there based off the message that he delivers. Now, for every message that there is delivered, there's a message received. Would you agree? And then what do we do with that message and how do we take that message out to the masses? That's our part of our responsibility, right? It's not Pastor Dan's responsibility to get people in these seats. That's Almighty God's responsibility. It's our responsibility to multiply what we learn. So for us, my wife and I, it was extremely disappointing and damaged us in our heart after we watched what went on there for 25 years. When I came here, after the first week, I knew we found a home. Okay? I knew we found a home. And quite frankly, I knew this guy and forgot I knew him in another life. Okay? And not up there. I actually had interactions with Pastor Dan and obviously forgot them in a different field that we were both in. So Kim goes to Karis Bible College, comes home, and we sit here, and I recognize Pastor Dan. Couldn't remember where from. But when I come in this place and when I leave, I know I'm spirit-filled. I know the people that I'm speaking with, and forgive me for the word, Pastor Dan, but you folks are genuine and real. There is no phony makeup, what I've seen and what I've observed, in any one of you. And I can tell you we didn't have that in the place where we came from. And it's a big place. And they're losing people right and left because of it. So anyway, does that answer your question?
Yeah, so would I be accurate if I was to try to summarize what genuineness is? Are we talking about the message and the actions are the same? The message that's coming out of the church is the same as the action of the people of the church.
I would say that's good.
Yeah.
And here's what I know. I see that every Sunday when I come in. Because when I leave, I get a message that can last me for the rest of the day. And I'm taught. And it's been a long time since I've had that.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's go with group four. We'll end with group three here. Before we start, yeah, just push the button. The green light goes on, we're good. Maybe the other side. You push it up, yeah. Should probably label those things on. There it is.
Okay.
And before we start, just so I can have your name.
I'm Tim.
Tim, okay.
This is what we came up with. Being transparent, being in a place where you're not being judged, and then also helping others. That's Violet.
Amen. Yeah.
Caesar, small town environment without the gossiping.
Without the gospel or without the gossip?
Gossiping.
Oh, okay.
Gossiping.
Okay. I'm like, we got a problem here, guys. Let's all go to the bar.
Being in each other's lives outside of church, having coffee or meals together, and having great fellowship, directing each other toward Christ in a deep way, not superficial or just pretense.
Okay. I like to just put this one up there. Involved with each other outside the four walls. Will that fit on the screen? Sometimes when you type too much, it shrinks down and smaller and smaller. Involved outside with each other outside, transparent. What does it mean to be transparent? And this is an anybody question. Anybody can. Vulnerable. Okay.
Lay it all out
there. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. So, would being transparent involve a environment where people are willing to put themselves out there? Because it's not going to be, you put yourself out there and then, and I love you with the love of the Lord. That's not that, right? So it's an environment that where people are willing to put themselves out there. You know, the number one thing that happens with people, because we're people, and darkness knows how to do this, and it's probably time we recognize it and don't play along. But the number one thing it likes to do is it likes to speak into your ear that your problems are unlike anybody else's on the planet. Nobody else has that problem. And so that challenge, you probably want to pull back and be by yourself until you get yourself all fixed, and then you can go back. I may have ever seen folks do that. That's the wrong move. Because darkness likes to, what do? They like to sever, isolate, separate and isolate. Sever, separate and isolate. And so many folks that you brought up, Violetta, that they've been hurt by church, that's the typical routine. It starts with all this, and then it leads to they're no longer around. And then it leads to, once you're all by yourself, darkness can speak into your ear anything it wants to, and you're the only one's right because you're the only one that's around, right? So we want to make sure we don't participate with that little game. Okay, group three. That was good. Real good. Real good. We're going to buy a bunch of these mics and teach everybody how to use them.
All right, I think it's on now. So we kept it pretty simple, but a lot of the stuff has already been said. Genuineness, we had that on there. Real conversation, like saying, hey, what's on your heart, and being able to share that. Participation, and that kind of goes along with, keeping in mind God's priority. God's priorities are first. helpful to the community and others around us. And I think the all-encompassing word for everything we're talking about here, I think, is family and brotherhood and sisterhood. Is because being genuine, or in a healthy family, people are genuine, people spend time with each other, people are involved with each other, and your heart is able to be shared.
More
oh yeah, more cowboy fans.
Ushers, can we like get this man out of here? Okay. Okay. That's good. The second question, it may dovetail into the first, but it may not. And that is, what do you feel others are looking for out there? You verbalize what you say is healthy community, but what is it that the people out there are looking for? Is that what they're looking for? Yeah, people in general. Well, saying what they should be looking for, that's subjective. I think we should probably keep it into what they're actually looking for. Is that what they're looking for? What are they looking for?
I think they're looking for truth. And when they hear truth, it doesn't feel free. They think it's truth. And it's a word. They're looking for it.
They're just talk. This is just an open talk thing. You don't take notes. What was that?
I think Rick said on that people want to know what you think about that hypocrisy. I think people are most people who lack a practice of walking out there. And you believe this Jesus guy has a new thing 2,000 years ago? Why? For what? What relevance does he have to me? You don't even know that. You yell at your mother, you can stick your head, whatever, and you have to not think of
okay. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that people are looking for someone who puts, let me just say it this way. They're looking for someone to put skin on God. Would that be accurate? They're looking for people, somebody, I know, you know, if they believe there's a God. See, so many people believe there's a God, and you'll hear this phrase, well, that's your truth versus my truth. What are they saying? Well, they're actually saying, I haven't experienced what you're talking about, so it's not truth to me. They've experienced something else, so whatever they've experienced, that's truth to them. So, are you saying that what people are looking for is they want how they imagine God is? They're looking for somebody. Basically, they're looking for someone to put skin on that and take it from the idea realm into, I actually experienced that from you. Is that what you're saying? Would that be accurate? What am I saying that correctly? Because everybody has a concept of God, right? I mean, everybody has one. It's either, even if you're an atheist, you have a concept of God, probably because you had a bad experience, it turns you against believing that there was one at all, because it violates your very concept of who God should be, right? I promise you that if you talk to atheists, the only reason they're an atheist is because somewhere along the way they had a bad experience. Because every human being, it's because you have, if I could say it this way, your origin is from Him. So every human being, somewhere in their spirit, they know there is a God and they have a concept of what He should be. So when you hear conversation like, well, that church is phony, or they're hypocrites, or they're this, or they're that, what are they doing? They're simply saying, that doesn't gel with what my concept of God is. Would that be accurate in trying to verbalize it? Okay. Now, again, this third question, this will be the last one. This could be number one. But it certainly gels into that. But number one was, what do you think a healthy community looks like inside a local church. Now, the third question gets a little more direct, and that is, what's important to you in this environment? So now we'll get back in our groups, and we'll just for about 5 minutes, we'll talk about that. What's important to you as an individual, not as a whole or what it looks like, but specifically for you personally, what's important to you? And nobody's writing any names next to the comments, so we're not going to know who said what, but I think it's important to verbalize things like this. So get back in your groups, and whoever's taking notes, you know, make sure you write them down. And we'll get back in 5 minutes, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Question, are you saying what's important to us as the responses that we gave as a group or that everybody gave a total?
I'd say everything as a total. What is important to you personally when it comes to healthy environment in a local church? Specifically you, what is important to you? Okay, let's wrap it up here. Everybody done discussing? Who's got the mics right now? We'll just start with those guys. So, two? Group three? Okay. So we'll start with group three. And the question is, what is important to you specifically in this, what you have declared as healthy environment in a local church? What is important to you? So go ahead, group three, what do you have?
So we have acceptance. We have genuineness again. Accountability, the presence and love of God. Kind of goes with acceptance, like a comfortable environment. We're comfortable around each other.
Okay.
And we were trying to figure out how to exactly word this. I mean, unity is good, but that's not exactly what we were trying to get at. It was more like how in Acts it says they were of one accord.
So they
have, like, you know, we understand, hey, we're disciples, we're family, and we also spread the gospel together, you know, and in our own lives.
They're of one mind, and they all drove a Honda.
Right.
Sorry, that was a bad preacher joke. Okay, read those again, because you said something I just, because of that bad joke,
sure.
I just forgot what it was.
Acceptance, accountability, genuineness.
Okay, that was it. Okay, let me ask you, and I'm not necessarily asking you guys, but it's just one of these group discussion things. When we say we want accountability, what does that look like? Okay.
Yeah, we were saying something, a word like invest. We're invested in each other. So he was saying, you know, you don't want a bad return on your investment, right? So you put your heart out. Someone else puts their heart out. You take on your brother's burdens. You know, whatever's affecting their life affects you. So if they're going somewhere they shouldn't be, you're like, hey, I don't think that's, you know, for your sake, for your health, for your spiritual growth, I need to say something.
So what if in that situation, what if the person that you're well, for lack of a better word, you're trying to hold accountable. What if the response is, look, I have the Holy Spirit too. What do you do with that?
So that would sound to me like a defensive response.
Yes.
If in fact that's how you deal.
Yes. Yeah.
For the guys in the room, we all know that we're created with an ego and pride, and that gets trouble. And my experience is that women are nowhere near that healthy like we are. And no disrespect, but that's been my experience over the years. And I have to try twice as hard because I personally know that that's who I am, and I try to be. So I have to work through it. Kim's helped me through that over 32 years of being there. So.
Well, I just want to tell you, I don't have an ego. I've completely transcended above that. Just kidding. Yeah. Okay. But because you do hear those questions, or you do hear that statement. I mean, you know, nobody wants to be, you know, well, you know, I hear God as good as you do. You know, well, that may be true. That may not be true. Sure. So let me ask you this. Does the phrase, and this, is the phrase, well, you just have to love people at a distance, is that accurate?
No. You're not doing them any favors by loving them.
Bingo. Yeah.
He didn't talk to me for 3 years. He came back to me after that 3 years in tears.
Yeah.
And so now what I've learned to do is ask people, when they ask for the truth, number one, are you willing to hear my observation? And that observation might be truthful things that you don't want to hear. Are you ready to hear that? And if they tell me yes, I'll tell them. And they might not like to hear it, but at the end of the day, again, it's how you deliver the message.
Yeah, absolutely is. So then the old... Well, I'm not sure what an adage is, but I'll just use it because you've heard the phrase. The old adage is, you know, that you have to love people from a distance. Really, all that is self-preservation, then, isn't it? Yeah. We shouldn't even have that anywhere near. That's not an element of authentic community at all. Okay, thank you. That was awesome. You guys, what do you got? Is that group one? Okay. Is this okay, guys? We get some things out of this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were talking about the quality time with people and how it goes from just wanting to spend time with folks to actually adding them into your life and having them be actively in your life. Let's see, outside of church.
So that just, does that mean we just put them as friends on our Facebook page?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's why we add them to your actual life, not your online life and your far away life and your texting life. Also that... the feeling of church community, being able to have that all week long. So it goes away from being your church community to being your community. These aren't people that you can't wait to see on Sunday. These are people that you have in your life all the time. So when you see them again on Sunday after you've dealt with them throughout the week or whatever, that's that love and that excitement and that joy and that support that's all still there. And it's not one of those things where Sunday is supposed to be oh so different than the rest of your life. Because we're not living for Sunday. We're living, period. Yes, Paula.
There is a certain denomination, religious group, that does this very, very well. They're very family-oriented. And, you know, we can always learn from other people. So, you know, one thing is if people are allowed to express their needs, I need this, I need that, I need help with my housework, I need help with, you know, picking up this furniture and getting it to my house, I need help with XYZ, and people respond to that, then you naturally flow into each other's lives. People have needs not only for I need you to help me, but I need people to spend time with me, and I want to invite you over, and I want to, and so I think we can take a model from that particular group that I'm talking about who are so good at that, because that's what people want. So one thing that we were talking about is the small groups, and I've been a co-small group leader, and Rich has been a small group leader, and that has really worked, so I'm throwing out that idea before I pass the microphone back.
So home groups is something.
So are we saying, am I hearing you say that, you know, the answers that we're hearing, these are things you specifically are important to you?
Mm-hmm.
Not in general. Okay.
Not in general.
Okay. Group two, what do you got?
All right, this is what our group has. The ability to come to an environment without judgment and condemnation already in the air, only with the only expectation of there being a loving reception. There needs a group that provides both emotional and, if necessary, physical need support. Everybody in the group wants to make a contribution to the betterment of the community. And in general, the church community is a training ground where we can, again, sorry, my handwriting's terrible, training ground where we can safely support and develop our, our understanding of the Holy Spirit and develop skills that can impact the external world.
And these are things that you guys have said are specifically important to you.
Yes.
Not in general, not a general environment, but a specific things that are important to you.
To the four people in our group, yes.
Yes. Okay. Good. Yes. Group four.
Authentic fellowship of Christ, gathering around Christ to spur one another on and stir each other up. Practice what we're learning, like words from the Holy Spirit for someone else, sharing the testimonies of God's love weekly. Looks at it as a gas station to fill up and then go back out. Powerful word, Holy Spirit worship, and connection with others.
It's good. Real good. You guys, you hear all of this, right? We have some more questions, but we're gonna get to those later. Not today. Just in case you're wondering. But you hear what has been verbalized. You guys can get back to wherever you're sitting if you want. It's fine. Unless you just like sitting there, you can stay there too. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm just gonna wrap it up with this. 1 Corinthians 12. Paul brings this out to the Corinthian church, and we've in previous series we've talked a lot about the environment that was the Corinthian church, and so many times it's easy for us to read these verses and stick them into our rut that we've been trained in, and I would challenge you, don't ever read scripture like you've heard this one before, because the Holy Spirit wants to show you something every time you sit down with Him. But 1 Corinthians 12, it says this. It says in verse 22 that it's much truer that members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more honor, more abundant honor. Less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the members which lacked, so that there be, verse 25, no division, never say no division.
No division.
No division in the body. And your margin says this, no schisms. I'm going to know it's real, real, real easy to create schisms in the body. You say, why would there be a part of that? Well, do we gather around the people that think like us, that have the same political view as us, and that's the only ones we hang around? Welcome to schism world. because that's what that is. If they have the right letter behind their name politically, we're going to associate with them. But if they don't, well, they just need to get saved. Welcome to schism world. We do it all the time. But it says there's to be no division in the body, but the same care. If I say the same care, one for another. Can you imagine a church community that it doesn't matter if you think like me, it doesn't matter if you dress like me, it doesn't matter if you have an earring in your ear, it doesn't matter if you have a tattoo, and hold on to your hats, folks. It doesn't matter if you like the opposite gender or not. Because all of that stuff existed when Jesus was on the planet, right? I said, right? It existed. It existed. But you don't hear Jesus saying, okay, well, here's how you're supposed to act with this type of people. And as long as they're in the group, this is how you treat them. But if they're not that, or if they don't like the same gender, or if it's, the opposite gender like they're supposed to, or whatever, fill in the blank. If they have ink on their skin, if they have holes in their ears, if they have whatever it is. There's not different levels of how you treat folks. Well, they just need to get their act cleaned up. Really? Is that anywhere in here? That's not your job, that's his job. So, but if we create an environment where there's equal care one for another, doesn't say anything about whether our minds agree with each other. It doesn't say whether or not we follow the same whatever. There's to be equal care one for another in the body. And the thing I love about 1 Corinthians 12, and it's kind of been screwed up in the way we read this, but he's essentially saying in 1 Corinthians 12 that every single person in the body, it was mentioned, I love it, it was mentioned that you know, we should be connected with the Spirit of God to wherever, you know, wherever you, when you go to shake somebody's hand, when you go to greet somebody, whenever you, inside this community, okay? Maybe what brings something into the authentic realm instead of going and just shaking people's hand and slapping them on the back and saying, hey, praise the Lord, I'm glad to meet you, see you later. Maybe, just maybe, we should be practicing what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14, in the fact that he said, when you come together, every one of you has, and let's just narrow it down to the one thing that he mentioned in there, because he said, I wish above all things that you would, I want you to prophesy. Do we have enough confidence? Is this a safe enough place? Is this the kind of community in this place today? Not today, but just from here on. Is it the kind of community where we can feel safe in developing in, hearing from him in the face of someone else, and giving them what we got in that moment? And if it's not just 100% on, it's still received the same way, and it's still received with gratitude. And like Paul says, you don't forbid to prophesy. You essentially keep the good and spit out you keep what's from him, and whatever wasn't from him, you just disregard it. Do we have that kind of environment? Do we have that kind of let's use the word transparency. Is there that kind of transparency where, as we're developing in these things, because 1 Corinthians 12 is essentially saying this, that every single one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, every single one of those is for every single human being that is in the church every single time, all the time. And are we going to allow an environment? Is the environment going to be such to where we're all allowed to grow and develop in these things, even if we're just starting out? I think it is. I think we do. Because all that grows from what everybody just talked about. Right? Let's go ahead and stand up. I told you this story once before. One time I was in a church and I had a girl come up to me. She's about this high. And she came up to me with all the confidence in the world. And she said, I feel like you're supposed to be in Colorado. I just feel like that. I mean, I think that God's, you're supposed to do something there. You're supposed to be, I forget exactly what it was, but it was essentially, and we just moved to Phoenix. And this was a long time ago. And she just stepped out and she gave me what she felt God had given her. And I just thanked her and said, well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. And then I walked away and she walked away and she felt good because she gave what God, she felt like she gave what God gave her. But what she didn't realize, what she was getting was the fact that not where I'm supposed to be going, but where I was from. She didn't know that. She didn't know I was from Colorado. Hadn't been in Colorado for 8 years, at least. But she picked up in her spirit something about Colorado, and she interpreted it to mean that's where I'm supposed to be. But how many of that's a safe environment when she was allowed to step out and give? She'll get better at that because she keeps stepping out, keeps stepping out. What if I had said, because she'll ask, well, does that make sense to you? Well, yeah, it makes sense to me because I'm from Colorado. What if I had said, that is completely 100% wrong. In fact, that couldn't be farther from the truth. I'm not supposed to be there. I just got here. What would that have done the next time she had wanted to step out? Nope, because then you sowed mistrust in them. They don't trust what they get. And it's just simply an environment of learning how to interpret what you're getting. And I believe everybody in this room, in order for us to all have the same care one for another, as 1 Corinthians 12 says, we all have to be developing all in the manifestations of the gifts, as well as other areas, one with the other, right? We're used to environments where it's only the big name, it's only the guy in the podium, it's only the guy with the microphone, it's only those guys that flow with the gifts, and we just sit back with our mouths open saying, feed me, feed me. And that's an inauthentic environment. Because you're supposed to be developing in those things so you can have equal care one for another. Somebody walks into a church building, somebody walks into a restaurant, somebody walks into a Home Depot, somebody walks into wherever you are, and you can pick up in your spirit that, you know, they just need some encouragement. Well, instead of running to your head and making up the best thing you can say, go into your spirit and say, Lord, what do you want to say to them? And go over there and give it to them. Imagine a church community that the people in the church developed to do that. Everywhere they went, this is what happened all over the city, 7 days a week. People need that. Because then when you give them what God gave them, you get better at it, you get better at it, you get better at it, and pretty soon you're reading their mail and they know God knows who I am. And you'll build them up, encourage them, and lift them up. And that's what the church is here for. Amen? Was this a good exercise today? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in our midst. We just so appreciate your presence. We just so love you, and we just so appreciate you being with us. And we thank you for the wisdom that flows from your mind to ours. And we just love you and we just thank you. Father, thank you for the things that were discovered today, that they take root and the roots go down deep. And I thank you, Lord, that as the roots go down deep, the plant grows higher and higher above the ground. And just like Jesus said, it'll turn into a tree and all the birds of the air will begin to come and rest in the branches. And we just thank you for that and praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, go have an awesome, blessed week and practice what you heard.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.